Baker, and good Sabbath, everyone. A double Sabbath today, both with instructions to do no work upon them at all. The weekly Sabbath and the Day of Atonement. Turn to Leviticus chapter 23, and I'm going to read from the Geneva Bible today. The Bible that the Puritans had with them when they came to this country. Leviticus 23, and I'll begin in verse 26. And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, The tenth also of this seventh month shall be a day of reconciliation. It shall be an holy convocation unto you, and you shall humble your souls and offer sacrifice made by fire unto the Lord. And you shall do no work that same day, for it is a day of reconciliation, to make an atonement for you before the Lord your God. For every person that humbles not himself that same day shall even be cut off from his people. And every person that shall do any work that same day, the same person also will I destroy from among his people. You shall do no manner work thereof. This shall be a law forever in your generations throughout all your dwellings. This shall be unto you a Sabbath of rest, and you shall humble your souls in the ninth day of the month at even. From even to even you shall celebrate your Sabbath. Now, before you turn off your ears, because we always read these holy days, this day, this commanded fasting and prayer day, was the only way that ancient Israel, could have reconciliation from their long year of sins. As the sins piled up over the year, this had to be done each year. And atonement is satisfying someone for an offense. Let me repeat that. Atonement is satisfying someone for an offense. And in this case, we're satisfying God the Father, and the offense is sin. So that's what this is all about. Go back to Leviticus 16. Leviticus chapter 16, let's begin in verse 2. And the Lord said unto Moses, Speak unto Aaron thy brother, that he come not at all times into the holy place within the veil before the mercy seat which is upon the ark, that he die not, for I will appear in the cloud upon the mercy seat. After this sort shall Aaron come into the holy place, even with a young bullock for a sin offering and a ram offering for a burnt offering. He shall put on the holy linen coat and shall have linen breeches upon his flesh, and shall be girded with a linen girdle, and shall cover his head with a linen mitre. These are the holy garments. Therefore shall he wash his flesh in water when he doth put them on. And he shall take of the congregation of the children of Israel 2 he-goats for a sin offering and a ram for a burnt offering. Then Aaron shall offer the bullock for a sin offering and make an atonement for himself and for his house. And he shall take the 2 he-goats and present them before the Lord at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. Then Aaron shall cast lots over the 2 he-goats, one lot for the Lord and the other lot for the scapegoat. And Aaron shall offer the goat upon which the Lord's lot shall fall and make him a sin offering. Drop down to verse 15. Then shall he kill the goat that is the people's sin offering, and bring his blood within the veil, and do with that blood as he did with the blood of the bullock, and sprinkle it upon the mercy seat and before the mercy seat. Drop down to verse 29. So this shall be an ordinance forever unto you. The tenth day of the seventh month you shall humble your souls and do no work at all, whether it be one of the same country or a stranger that sojourneth among you. For that day shall the priest make an atonement for you to cleanse you. You shall be clean from all your sins before the Lord. This shall be a Sabbath of rest unto you, and you shall humble your souls by an ordinance forever. And the priest whom he shall anoint and whom he shall consecrate to minister in his father's stead shall make the atonement and shall put on the linen clothes and the holy vestments and shall purge the holy sanctuary and the tabernacle of the congregation and shall cleanse the altar and make an atonement for the priest and for all the people of the congregation. And this shall be an everlasting ordinance unto you to make an atonement for the children of Israel for all their sins once a year. And as the Lord commanded Moses, he did. Turn over. Just drop down in some Bibles or the next page. Chapter 17, verses 10 and 11. Likewise, whoever he be of the house of Israel or the strangers that sojourn among them that eateth any blood, I will even set my face against that person that eats blood and will cut him off from among his people. For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it unto you to offer upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls, for this blood shall make an atonement for the soul. So here we learn that the life is in the blood. And as we go through atonement scriptures, our mind keeps flashing back to the Passover, sacrifice in the and the perfect lamb. Well, it's a connection here. It's a real connection here. Let's go to Exodus chapter 12 and look at that for just a moment because it fits in. Exodus 12. Let's read verses 5 and 7. Exodus 12, 5 and 7. This is when they're commanded to bring in the lamb for the Passover in ancient Egypt. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of a year old. You shall take it of the lambs or of the kids, and you shall keep it until the 14th day of this month. Then all the multitude of the congregation of Israel shall kill it at even. After they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two posts, and on the upper doorpost of the house where they shall eat it. You see the blood of a life without blemish here, that they have to use it to strike on the doorpost, and it's the blood that's important. Drop down to verse 13. And the blood shall be a token for you upon the houses where you are, so when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destruction when I smite the land of Egypt. So here we see that the blood protection here, because they obeyed God's word, the blood was on the doorpost. Another thing of obedience here, sin. Sin is just not doing what God wants us to do, what he asks us to do, and what he's written in these words. Now I'm going to quit reading out of the Geneva Bible. Let's go to Romans 3, and we'll read from New King James now. Romans 3, and let's begin in verse 23. Romans 3 and verse 23. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God set forth as a propitiation by his blood through faith to demonstrate his righteousness, because in his forbearance God has passed over the sins that were previously committed. So here Paul in Romans is telling us because of sin, atonement is necessary, and God, through his righteousness, demonstrate his righteousness, is going to allow us to have that atonement. Because of sin, a precious sacrifice must occur each year in the Old Testament, and that's very important, that we say precious sacrifice to cover that year's sin so that they don't accumulate. They did it back then so it wouldn't accumulate. The blood, life, the blood for reconciliation, for protection, just like Israel had in Egypt. Now let's go to Revelation 1 and verse 1. The revelation of Jesus Christ, whom God gave him to show his servants. Here we have the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave to him. Drop down to verse 4. It says, John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace to you and peace from him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before the throne. Now think about that one. Who's he talking about?
This line is now unmuted.
To come. That's the great I am.
This line is now muted.
That we read about in the Old Testament, the great I am, who is and was and is to come. Now look at verse 5. And it says, and. It's talking about this great being, this I am. And then it says, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler over the kings of the earth, to him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. So here in verse 5 we have, and this grace and peace to us is from two beings, this great I am, and to the firstborn, the King of Kings, the Lamb of God, our protection by the blood from the death penalty. That's what it is. Just like ancient Israel put the blood on the doorpost to be protected, death angel coming over, then we have this Lamb of God here in Revelation that protects us forever by his blood being shed in that death penalty. The animals that under the first covenant was sacrificed were the very best. They were the most precious. They were without blemish. Many of them the firstborn. And they were most valuable as herd producers and reproducers to keep the herds going. They were precious to these people. It was a matter of putting food on the table, so they were precious. They only covered sins temporarily. So to cover sins, past, present, and future, it had to be the most perfect without blemish, the Lamb of God. Let's go to John 1 and 29. John 1, 29, and we'll see that John proclaimed Christ to be that Lamb, but he had a reason to. John 1, 29, it says, the next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Let's notice on down in the next few verses. He said, this is he of whom I said, after me comes a man, capital M, notice, after me comes a man who is preferred before me, and he was before me. I did not know him, but that he should be revealed to Israel. Therefore, I came baptizing with water. And John bore witness, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it remained upon him. I did not know him, but he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, upon whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. And I have seen and testify that this is the Son of God. So, without the Lamb of God, Jesus the Christ, we would all still be under the death penalty, the penalty for sin. So, there are three questions that are a test for a true or false religion. And I do not know who originated these questions. It may be a Protestant. I believe it was Protestant. But it's a very good test. Number one question for test to see if a religion is false or true. What is this religion's attitude toward the Bible? It's a good question. Is the Bible true? Is it God's Word? Is the Bible relevant today? Is the Old Testament relevant? Is parts of the Bible just stories not based on real characters? Is parts just poetry? What is a religion's attitude toward the Bible? That's a very good question. If they don't believe the Bible, then it's a false religion. And question number two is, what is this religion's attitude toward Jesus Christ? Well, we have just read that He is the Lamb of God, the perfect sacrifice. Does this religion even believe that Jesus exists? Was He born in the flesh? Did He die? And was He resurrected back to life? Think of all the world's religions that this eliminates from being a true or the true religion. Islam, Judaism. People don't think about Judaism. That eliminates that. Hinduism and Darwinism. It's a religion. And there's just multitudes of religions that question eliminates, that they don't believe in Jesus the Christ. Question number three on this true or false religion. What is this religion's attitude toward the blood of Jesus Christ? Now, I thought that's a very deep question when you think about blood of Christ, the Lamb of God, true or false religion. Scripture states that life is in the blood, this physical life and eternal life. I learned that firsthand a couple of years ago. I lost sight in my left eye due to an occluded blood vessel. Without blood, our eyes do not work. My eyesight has been restored, but the same is for our bodies. The blood must flow to all parts or they die. And how is a person reckoned to be dead? By a pulse, the heart, the blood pump. When the blood stops flowing, people are reckoned to be dead. And our blood, it carries the cells to our bodies that provides us with energy and oxygen, and our brains don't work, our limbs don't work. And that blood carries healing cells to our body to keep our body healthy. And our bodies are amazing things, this creation of God, that we can cut ourselves and it heals itself, and that's because of this blood that flows. The blood is the life of our physical bodies, both us and the animals. But the blood of Christ, the shed blood, is even more important. Let's go to John chapter 6. Over a few pages. John 6, verse 53. John 6, 53. Then Jesus said to them, "Most assuredly I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink His blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats My flesh and drinks My blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day." This is Jesus speaking to the Jews, His very own people. Go back up to verse 41. The Jews then complained about Him because He said, "I am the bread which came down from heaven." And they said, Is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that He says, "I have come down from heaven"? They rejected Jesus as the Lamb of God. They looked only on the physical side. Let's continue on in verse 55. Verse 55. This is Christ speaking again. "For My flesh is food indeed, and My blood is drink indeed. He who eats My flesh and drinks My blood abides in Me, and I in him. As the living Father sent Me, and I live because of the Father, so he who feeds on Me will live because of Me." True religion believes these words. If any religion does not believe it, it is not a true religion. Simple as that. It's a good test that we have here. Continuing on. Verse 58. "This is the bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers ate the manna and are dead. He who eats this bread will live forever." These things he said in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. Therefore, many of his disciples, when they heard this, said, "This is a hard saying. Who can understand it?" When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples complained about this, he said to them, "Does this offend you? What then if you should see the Son of Man ascend where he was before? It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit, and they are life. But there are some of you who do not believe." For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were and who did not believe and who would betray him. And he said, "Therefore I have said to you that no one can come to me unless it has been granted to him by my Father." From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. See, these Jews followed Jesus because they believed him to be the Messiah. It was a physical thing. He was to defeat the Romans and establish a new kingdom. He was to take back from the Romans the Holy Land. But the Father had not called them, and they did not see the spiritual side. Not everyone today can see the spiritual side. God is not calling everyone today, as many of the churches have struggled because some are called while others, many in the churches have struggled because some are called and their spouses may not be called. It makes it difficult, very difficult when that happens. Without the blood of Christ, they knew not the true religion. So that's a very good test. Let's go to Hebrews, the book of Hebrews, and we don't know who the real author of this was. I attribute it to Paul, so if I say Paul, excuse me if you don't believe that. It was called Pros Hebraeus to Hebrews. So it's written to the Jews. Let's begin in chapter 9, Hebrews 9, verse 1. And Paul says this so well, I'll probably not have much commentary on this. "Then indeed, even the first covenant had ordinance of divine service and the earthly sanctuary. For a tabernacle was prepared, the first part, in which was the lampstand, the table and the showbread, which is called the sanctuary. And behind the second veil, the part of the tabernacle, which is called the holiest of all, which had the golden censer and the ark of the covenant overlaid on all sides with gold, in which were the golden pot and the manna, Aaron's rod that budded, and the tablets of the covenant. And above it were the cherubim of glory overshadowing the mercy seat. Of these things we cannot now speak in detail. Now when these things had been thus prepared, the priest always went into the first part of the tabernacle, performing the services. But in the second part, the high priest went alone once a year, not without blood." Notice how this is important, "but not without blood, which he offered for himself and for the people's sins committed in ignorance." The Holy Spirit indicating this, that the way into the holiest of all was not yet made manifest while the tabernacle was still standing. It was symbolic for the present time in which both gifts and sacrifices are offered, which cannot make him who performed the service perfect in regard to the conscience, concerned only with foods and drinks, various washings, and fleshly ordinances imposed until the time of Reformation. Notice it was symbolic for that time. And then in verse 11 he says, "But Christ came as high priest of the good things to come with a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is, not of this creation. Not with the blood of bull and goats and calves, but with his own blood, he entered the most holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifies for the purifying of the flesh, How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? And for this reason, he is the mediator of the new covenant by means of death for the redemption of the transgressions under the first covenant, that those who are called may receive the promise of the eternal inheritance. For where there is a will, or testament it says in the New King James, for where there is a will, there must also necessarily be the death of the testator. For a testament or a will is in force after men are dead, since it has no power at all while the testator lives. Therefore, not even the first covenant was dedicated without blood. And if you go back and read all the covenants in the Old Testament, you'll find that they were mainly all dedicated with blood. 19. For when Moses had spoken every precept to all the people according to the law, he took the blood of calves and goats with water, scarlet wool, and hyssop, and sprinkled both the book itself and all the people, saying, "This is the blood of the covenant which God has commanded you." Then likewise he sprinkled with blood both the tabernacle and all the vessels of ministry. And according to the law, almost all things are purified with blood, and without the shedding of blood there is no remission, or there is no forgiveness. Now think about what a bloody mess this was that they did all the time. When they sacrificed these animals, and they sprinkled it, and they rubbed it on the horns of the altar there, it was a bloody scene. Thankfully, we don't have to do that anymore. Verse 23, therefore, it was necessary that the copies of the things in heaven should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. For Christ has not entered the holy places made with hands, which are copies of the truth, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Not that he should offer himself often, as the high priest enters the most holy place every year with blood of another. He then would have had to suffer often since the foundation of the world. But now, once at the end of the ages, now notice that this was what we were already 4,000 years into it before Jesus come and made this offer. And he says once at the end of the ages, so there was only 2 days left until the end of these ages. He has appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And as it is appointed for men to die once, but after this the judgment. So Christ was offered once to bear the sins of many. To those who eagerly wait for him, he will appear a second time, apart from sin, for salvation. Now notice that there is no chapter break here, because in chapter 10 it says, he continues on, for the law, having a shadow of the good things to come and not the very image of the things, can never with these same sacrifices which they offer continually year by year make those who approach perfect. For then they would not have ceased to be offered. For the worshippers, once purified, would have had no more conscience of sins. But in those sacrifices there is a reminder of sins every year. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats could take away sin. Therefore, when he came into the world, he said, "Sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you have prepared for me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin you had no pleasure." Then I said, "Behold, I have come, in the volume of the book it is written of me, to do your will, O God." Previously saying, "Sacrifice and offerings, burnt offerings and offerings for sin you did not desire, nor had pleasure in them, which are offered according to the law." And then he said, "Behold, I have come to do your will, O God." He takes away the first that he may establish the second. By that will we have been sanctified through the offering of the the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And every priest stands ministering daily and offering repeatedly the same sacrifice, which can never take away sins. But this man, there's the capital again, Jesus is talking about, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God, from that time waiting till his enemies are made his footstool. For by one offering he has perfected forever those who are being sanctified. But the Holy Spirit also witnesses it to us. For after he had said before, this is the covenant I will make with them after those days, says the Lord, I will put my laws in their hearts and in their minds I will write them. Then he adds, their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more. Now, where there is remission of these, there is no longer an offering for sin. Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he consecrated for us through the veil that is his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. So we have no minister over us anymore. There's nobody over us. It's just we only have a high priest over the house of God, our Lord Jesus Christ. Go over to chapter 13, Hebrews 13, and let's begin in verse 9. Hebrews 13, verse 9. Do not be carried away with various and strange doctrines, for it is good that the heart be established by grace, not with foods which have not profited those who have been occupied with them. We have an altar from which those who serve the tabernacle have no right to eat. For the bodies of those animals whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burned outside the camp. Therefore, Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered outside the gate. Therefore, let us go forth to him, outside the camp, bearing his reproach. For here we have no continuing city, but we seek the one to come. We'll get to that a little bit later. Therefore, by him, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks or confessing to his name. But do not forget to do good and to share, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. Obey those who rule over you, or those who lead you, and be submissive, for they watch out for your souls. As those who must give account, let them do so with joy and not with grief, for that would be unprofitable for you. Pray for us, for we are confident that we have a good conscience in all things, desiring to live honorably. But I especially urge you to do this, that I may be restored to you sooner. Now may the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, that great shepherd of sheep, through the blood of the covenant, I make you complete in every good work to do his will, working in you what is well-pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. The God of priests, the peace, excuse me, can't pronounce anything now. The God of peace brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, said that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, that atoning blood of Christ. Turn with me to Revelation chapter 6. This is the sixth seal here we're breaking into. I looked when he opened the sixth seal. This is John looking. This sixth seal, the other seals, John was told to come over here, come and look, come and look. And this sixth seal, John looks without being told. In verse 12, he said, I looked when he opened the sixth seal, and behold, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black and a sackcloth of hair, and the moon became like blood, and the stars of the heaven fell to the earth as a fig tree drops its late figs when it is shaken by a mighty wind. Then the sky receded as a scroll when it is rolled up, and every mountain and island was moved out of its place. And the kings of the earth, the great men, the rich men, the commanders, the mighty men, every slave and every free man, hid themselves in the caves and in the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and the rocks, fall on us, hide us from the face of him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb, for the great day, who is able to stand? So you see here, this Lamb, Jesus, has a day of reckoning coming, a day of wrath coming. Revelation 17. Revelation 17, let's begin in verse 7. This is about the history of Babylon, and we're breaking into this. Revelation 7, verse 7. But the angel said to me, why did you marvel? I will tell you the mystery of the woman and of the beast that carries her, which has the seven heads and the ten horns. The beast that you saw was and is not, and will ascend out of the bottomless pit and go to perdition or destruction. And those who dwell on the earth will marvel, whose names are not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, when they see the beast that was and is not, and yet is. Here is the mind which has wisdom. The seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sits. There are also seven kings. Five have fallen, one is, and the other not yet come. And when he comes, he must continue a short time. The beast that was and is not is himself also the eighth, and is of the seven, and is going to perdition, or destruction, that's it. The ten horns which you saw are ten kings who have received no kingdom of yet, but they receive authority for 1 hour as kings with the beast. See here, there are 3.5 years. That's, if you go back to Revelation 3:10, that's what 1 hour equals, 3.5 years here, that they will have power with the beast. Verse 13, these are of one mind, and they will give their power and authority to the beast. These will make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb will overcome them, for he is Lord of lords and King of kings, and those who are with him are called, chosen, and faithful. This is very important because this beast power and all those who are not spiritually fed, are not of the way of the Lord, will be fooled. And these will all make war with the Lamb. But look, those with the Lamb are us. It's describing us, you and I. Or it better be, it's up to us that it is. That is why we are afflicting our bodies today, why we are humbling ourselves to be closer to God. Those with the Lamb are called, chosen, and faithful. Called by God the Father, chosen by the Lamb to be kings and priests. And we must be faithful. Sometimes our faith is tried. We have to count the cost. No matter how long we have endured, no matter how long we've been in this church, no matter how much we think we know, sometimes our faith is tried. And today teaches us that we are strongest when physically weak. The blood of the Lamb. That was a horrific scene of beating of our Lord to shed that blood. It was not a pretty sight. And our humbling on this day is minute compared to his humbling. When he was disgraced, spit on, beaten, bitten. He was God before and became flesh and beat to a bloody pulp for us to cover our sin because he had none. Let's go to Romans 12.
Drop down to verse 22.
Revelation 21:22. But I saw no temple in it, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. The city, that's that city Abraham was looking for, the city had no need of the sun or the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God illuminated it. The Lamb is its light. You repeat that. The Lamb is its light. And the nations of those who are saved shall walk in its light, and the kings of the earth bring their glory and honor into it. Its gates shall not be shut at all by day, there shall be no night thereof, and be lit all the time. Verse 26, and they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it. The King James Version says, bring the glory and honor of the nations. That's not a good translation. It should be the good praises to God by spiritual beings, because there will only be spiritual beings in there. There will not be any glory from any nations on this earth in there. That should be good praises to God by spiritual beings. Verse 27, but there shall by no means enter into it anything that defiles or causes an abomination or lie, but only those who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Only those who he is not ashamed of, those who have their sins covered by his blood, will see that city that Abraham looked for. An open city with no violence, no crime, no smells, no dirt, no tears, no death, no pollution of any kind, noise, air, or chemical pollutions, good water. A city of love and peace and praises to God by spirit beings. This day of atonement, where our high priest is also our Lord, gives us the opportunity to see that city by his atoning blood. That's what I hope you take from this sermon, is the blood that covers this. In closing, Revelation 22, verses 12-14. And behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me, to give to everyone according to his work. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are those who do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life, and may enter through the gates into the city. Back to you, Dave.